How can I relate to you peace that is beyond our understanding? I'm at a loss. We need Holy Spirit discernment. We need Holy Spirit understanding. We are beyond ourselves. Now, I'd like to start with a pre-sermon talk, if I may, to help us understand that the battles of this life cannot be fought and won by the arm of the flesh. We're dealing with spiritual battles. There are human properties, there are human elements here today as we think about those who have lost loved ones. That's human. That's fleshly, but it's real. We live in a mortal body. But the real battle is spiritual. And we have to fight it in a spiritual sense. And I'd like to illustrate that with something that happened to me when I was 9 years old. My dad had a spreading service of lime and fertilizer. And he had these trucks that had a V-shaped body on the back, and it had a spinner, and it had two chains that brought a web underneath, inside that bed, underneath whatever the load was, and brought these slats would bring it out and dump it on these spinners. And these spinners would fling it, maybe 30 or 40 feet, you know. And so they would go through the field spreading the fertilizer or the lime, whatever was in it, and very interesting. So Dad sent two men to run that lime truck that morning, and I wanted to go along. I enjoyed that, so I went with them. So there's John Lee Daniels was driving the truck, and Joe Slaybaugh was going along to help. Now, the reason Joe had to go along is because the lime was delivered in an open train car, and it had rained, and that lime had gotten wet. Now, what lime is very, very fine limestone, and when it gets wet, it kind of wants to cake up and stick together, so this web would cut a channel, finally, all the way down through, but the sides would hang in there on the sides, and Joe was supposed to get up there and kick that lime back down so it would get spread evenly across the field. So when it got to that point, I said, I can do it. And they said, are you sure? Yeah, I can do it. I knew I could do it. So I got on the back of that lime truck. I crawled up on that thing, and you know, it's up pretty high. Higher than you can reach standing on the ground. And so I climbed up on there, and I'm walking along on top of the lime, and you know, I've got a good 36 inches on either side of that chasm, and down below I can see that chain and those slats. You know, I don't want to get tangled up with that, and I don't want to be pushed through that little slot in the back either. So I'm up there, and every so often I take my foot and I would kick, you know, boom, lime would go down there. And you know, but after a while, after kicking on both sides, I'm down to like about 18 inches of lime I'm standing on. I'm getting a little scared, you know. And so I thought, I better really hang on to the side. So here's what I did. I put my hands like this over the edge of that truck, and I hung on for dear life as I was kicking more lime down, okay? Now, if you look at your hands, it's kind of unique how God made our hands. We don't have five thumbs. We don't have five fingers. We have four fingers and one thumb. And they're to work together. And they have a particular way of working. So they're opposed to each other. So there I was clinging to the side, and I'm watching. We're getting to the end of the field. And at the end of the field was a road, and there was a little dip there. Well, John Lee Daniels was driving that truck cattywampus. I mean, like, he wasn't going straight, he was going at an angle. And all of a sudden, when that back wheel, dual wheels, went into that dip, I was flung forward, and suddenly they came out of the dip, and now this thing rose way up, and you know, my feet were up in the air, and I'm hanging on my thumbs. And God didn't intend for you to hang on your thumbs. And down I went. Boom! And I hit that road so hard, I can still remember laying there on my left side and looking at those dual wheels coming closer and closer to me. And I'm thinking, I got to holler. I opened my mouth. Not a squeak came out. Nothing. I was incapacitated. I couldn't do a thing. I couldn't move. I couldn't holler. And here were coming those dual wheels right in front of me. But John Lee Daniels had seen a flash of something go past the mirror of that truck, and he hit the brakes. And I still remember that wheel stopped about a foot from my head. I wanted to get out from under that truck, but I couldn't. Nothing worked. My arms didn't work. My legs didn't work. John Lee Daniels jumped out of that truck. He grabbed me and he yanked me out from under that truck. And he set me on my feet and I crumpled right to the ground. My legs didn't work. Nothing worked. And when you are trying to win a spiritual battle in the arm of the flesh, my folks, you're hanging by your thumbs. It won't work. You don't have the strength. You can't do it. We need to fight the battles of life in a spiritual sense. And we have to have the Holy Spirit within us or we are kaput. We can't do it. And so as we think about peace, what is peace? Have you ever stopped? Who's got a definition for peace here? How would you describe peace? What is it? Absence of turmoil. Okay. Absence.
Calm assurance.
Calm assurance. Okay. In spite of the what is happening. Peace in the middle of the storm. Somebody else? I mean, yeah, we're kind of coming together on this. What causes turmoil? That was one of the definitions. Absence of turmoil. What causes turmoil?
Life's situations.
Okay, situations in life that are difficult. So it's kind of complex. You can't just say peace. There's more to it than that. And so absence of turmoil. And I have found that conflicting ideas create turmoil. Conflicting situations create turmoil and conflict. So two opposing forces create turmoil and conflict. So do we desire peace? If I would ask you, who doesn't desire peace? Raise your hand. Nobody's going to raise their hand. We all desire peace. Peace is something that we long for. It's something we revel in. It's something that fills a spot in our life that is so needed. Why do you think the 23rd Psalm is so prevalent all over the world? Because it's a peaceful psalm. Yeah. And so we are seeking paths of peace, of course. But we have a problem. We wanted our child to live. We wanted our wife to live. We wanted our husband to live. But they died. What we wanted was taken away. Now, where is peace? Our desire and our reality are conflicting. And that creates a turmoil within us to the point that it can destroy our peace. And our topic today is peace which passeth all understanding. And I like that word. I'm old fashioned. Passeth. I like that because the word passeth, the ETH ending means a continuation. It was, it is, and it's going to continue. That's passeth. And so we want that. We desire that. We're looking for that. How do we receive that in the midst of our loss? Is it possible? Not if you hang by your thumbs. Not if you're determined, I can do it. It won't work. You won't have peace. It has to come to a place where you are dealing with this loss from a spiritual perspective. Deep down in your soul, you are dealing with it, and you're doing it God's way. And when you're doing it God's way, there is where you're going to find peace. The deceased husband, the deceased child is not coming back. Intellectually, we understand that. Emotionally, we may not quite be there. Those are not always the same. Time is on our side. On our side of the grave. Time is on our side of the grave, but eternity is on their side of the grave. I want you to understand that. It is we who are living the temporary life. They have begun the eternal aspect of living. In a sense, we desire them back. In another sense, we question whether that's right. And there's the conflict. We desire them back. We want them back. We miss them. Why? Because we love them. God has planted in the human heart the ability to love. There is such a fulfillment in loving. There's such a joy in loving. There's such a purpose in loving. And as we love, we're giving something. I talked to my son yesterday, and you know, at the end of the conversation, as I was saying goodbye, he said, I love you. Boop, and he hung up. I've been in meetings where young people lamented the fact that my dad never told me he loved me. Well, guess what? I can't recall one time that my dad told me, Johnny, I love you. But not once in my entire life did I question his love. He said it every day in what he did. And the relationship that he had with me, I knew his love. He didn't have to say, I love you. There's nothing wrong with that. We should say it. But it can become just sort of a crass phrase that we pop out without much meaning to it, really. But we need to love in a way that the recipient of love can feel it, can know it, and it's there. So is our relationship with God, that we can know him, and that we can know his love, and his love fills a spot in our hearts from eternity into time. God works in both. We work in time with our eye on eternity. And we're moving in that direction, beloved, and I want us to understand that we must walk in the pathway of holiness, because holiness is of the Lord, and without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Why do we long to have our loved ones? It's because we love them. Does love stop with death? I had an uncle that was 89 years old. My aunt, his wife, had died 2 years before. Now, my mom was facing a little bit of forgetfulness, and she called me on the phone. And I thought, well, Mom is really slipping, because she said, are you going to your uncle's wedding? And I said, Uncle who? And she said, Uncle Dan. I said, Dan? Stan Nisley? Okay. I didn't want to let her know that I thought she was slipping a little bit. And so I waited, and then I called my sister that evening, and I said, what's mom talking about Dan Nisley getting remarried? Well, he is, she said. I said, he's 89 years old. She said, I know, but he's getting remarried. Aren't you going to the wedding? I said, I guess I will. But my uncle said something that was very deep and very meaningful. He told me this. He said, I was getting ready to get married again. Now, he'd raised all his children. They were my first cousins. We'd been together many times. They were grown. They had children of their own. And he said this. You know, it's a strange thing. All the children came back from Texas and Pennsylvania and different places back to Indiana for this wedding. And he said, I want the whole family to go back out to mom's grave. We're all together. This happens so seldom. So he, with all his children, and he asked his bride-to-be to just please let us be alone. And they went out to mom's grave, his wife's grave. And the children and the husband all there, reminiscing, talking together about mom, how they missed her. And he said he was so strange. I felt grief, and at the same time, I felt a love for the lady that was waiting on me. Can I put that together? I can't. But that's what he felt. And so he got married. Love is a strange thing. It moves us in ways that we don't really understand. And I say, death does not stop us from loving. I still love my father. He's been gone for years. Still love my mother. She's been gone for years. So love can continue, although to bridge the gap, we must go where they are. And we need to live in such a way that we're preparing for that transition to go where they are. So here's our conflict. We love our departed family members. We long to be with them, to see them again, to hold them in our arms. We long for that. But being denied that creates within us a bit of a conflict. And that conflict militates against peace. What do we do about that? How do we deal with that? How can we overcome that conflict so that we can have true peace in our departed loved ones? We desire that which we cannot have. And we have to remember that we are in the time side of the grave, and they are in the eternity side of the grave. So how can we experience peace which passeth all understanding? Is it possible? Yes, it is. I spoke to some of you yesterday about our son walking out of our lives when he was 17 years old and living an ungodly life of alcohol, drugs, and immorality. And I was at a seminar here a couple of years after that. I was asked to come to the Wayward Child Seminar. And I asked him, his name is John also. I said, John, would you mind if I would be there and speak about our experience? He said, no, Dad, I think you'd have something to tell him. And And at that time, this auditorium was only about half this size. It had a wall down through there, and there were little apartments on this side, and I was in one of those apartments. And I was so burdened, I didn't know what to say when I got up here. And I was in there on my knees till the last minute, asking God, and suddenly God gave me something to share. So I came out here with this audience full of people who had wayward children. And here's what God gave me to give. Remember, we love our children. There's a bond there that God designed. And I said, how many of you have been perfect parents? Raise your hands. Nobody raised their hands. But I said, I know of one case where the parent was perfect. Absolutely perfect. Did everything right. Had two children, a boy and a girl. He loved them. He met with them constantly. He provided everything for them that they could ever wish for. The girl's name was Eve, and the boy's name was Adam. And they turned their back on their father. But he loved them. He loved them enough to send a part of himself, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to redeem them. And so, but during those years where John was living in gross sin, I had a problem. I wanted him back. I wanted him in our home. I wanted him to serve Christ. But that was denied me. So what do I do? I wrote to him every week. I didn't preach. I just told him what the family's doing and how we miss him. Just let him know that love is still there. And every night before going to bed, I would pray and I would lay John down at Jesus' feet because I had no peace. I would lay him at, you know, my wife finally told me this, that Johnny, if you're going to mope around the rest of your life because of the way John is living, what is there to draw him back? And I got to thinking about that. She's right. So I knew that I had to surrender this whole situation to Jesus. My friends, that's exactly what you have to do. With that loss of loved one, you have to lay it down at the foot of the cross. You have to give it to Jesus. He wants you to do that. He's asking you to do that. To take that painful situation that you are in and lay it down at the foot of the cross. But I got news for you. You can lay it down today, and 2 days later you feel something on your shoulders and you realize, I picked it back up again. You know what you do? You just lay it down again. And again. And again. And you keep laying it down until it stays there. Then you have peace. And I just want to share that with you. You need to come to the place where you can lay down the loss of your loved one. And that takes surrender. That's what it takes. And you know, this old flesh of ours does not want to surrender. There's a man in Texas that calls me about once a week. I don't know what ails him. He's either deranged or demon-possessed. One of the two. And he calls me and he rattles on. He'll rattle for a whole hour if I let him. But he's polite when I tell him that's, you know, I got to go now. He's okay, and he hangs up. But he always says the same thing. He says, you know, I wrestle with the devil, and I beat him up. I said, really? Yeah. He said, you know, the devil talks to me about Johnny, and I tell him, no, Johnny's a good guy. Johnny's a fine person, and I just beat him up. I fight with Jesus, too. I beat him up. And you know he's either deranged or demon-possessed. Yeah. He said, I fight with Jesus, and I beat him up. I said, really? Yeah, he said. He wants me to surrender. I'm not surrendering. I fight. I'm strong. I said, well, I follow Jesus. He said, you do? I said, yeah, I follow Jesus. Well, I don't. He's not going to surrender. But you know, that's the old man standing up inside. Never wants to give up. Never wants to surrender. And therefore, he has no peace. The old man that's within us never is at peace either. But spiritually. And God gave us the Holy Spirit to subdue and conquer our sinful nature, our fleshly nature. And when we allow, by surrendering, we allow the Holy Spirit to take control, he will conquer our sinful nature. And that's when we find peace. Peace that passes all understanding. It is such a blessing. How do we do that? How actually do we do that? And I want you to look at a couple of things here. One of them is found in Isaiah 9. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. How do we find peace in all these difficulties that we're facing with the loss of loved ones? Isaiah chapter 9. And here we find this scripture, and I just love it. And it's verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. I want you to think about that. The government, the authority, the protocol, the program, it's all on Jesus' shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Is Jesus wonderful to you this morning? I trust that he is. And he is truly wonderful in spite of all that you've experienced, in spite of the struggles that you're in at this moment. Jesus Christ is wonderful. He is a counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the power of God to you for salvation. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. I want you to get that. And if you know the Prince of Peace, if you are in relationship with the Prince of Peace, you can have peace. But you must surrender your will to him. And you have to take these situations that are so problematic, so difficult to deal with, and you got to lay them down, surrendering them to Jesus Christ. You can't keep them to yourself. You must surrender them. He is the Prince of Peace. And he is offering something to you. And I want you to look at that. That's found over in Matthew chapter 28. He's offering you something. Excuse me, what I wanted is Matthew 11, verse 28, where it says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we come to him with these burdens, he gives us rest. I want you to think about this. Come give your burdens to God. Come give your burdens to God. Come bring your burdens to God, for Jesus will never say no. I love that. I love that. I'd like for all of us to bow our heads. And I want you to think about giving this pain, this situation, this struggle. I want you to think about giving it to God. I want you to consider it seriously. And if you know that song, help me sing it while we think about this. Come give your burdens to God. us to God. Come, give your burdens to God, for Jesus will never say no. Keep your heads bowed for a moment. I just want to pray. Lord God, I come before you this morning in the name of Jesus. There's so much hurt in this room. There's so much pain. And Lord, you know the pain. You watched your son hanging on the cross. You saw him suffering for our sins, bruised for our iniquities, being chastised though he was innocent. And you turned, as it were, your face from him. You brought darkness over the face of the earth. Lord, for some of us, there's darkness. And I just pray that you would send the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts right now, Lord, and break through the bonds that are holding us back so that we can surrender and lay this situation at the foot of the cross. We're going to sing another verse of that song with eyes closed, heads bowed. And if you want to make a deeper commitment, a deeper surrender, and really want to place this at Jesus' feet, I invite you to raise your hand. Come, bring your burden to God. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you, brother. Lord bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God not only saw hands, he saw hearts. And as we think about this, I want to take you to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says this: And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I want you to look at that verse more carefully. It has a deep meaning here. It's talking about the peace of God. And there are three elements of peace that we all need. The first one is that we are reconciled to God by the death of his son. That gives us peace that passes all understanding. Where I have laid my fleshly mind, soul, and desires down at Jesus' feet. And I have allowed the Spirit of the living God to dwell within me. I've invited him to dwell within me, and I am listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And did you know that the Holy Spirit has some fruit to it? One of them is love, and one of them is joy, and one of them is peace. Peace that passes all understanding. And we need that. We need that love. We need that joy. We need that peace. And the three are kind of interconnected. You can't just single one of them out. And so this verse here says, And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your, that's the possessive pronoun, your hearts and your minds. We've had troubling thoughts, haven't we? We've struggled with thoughts. We've struggled with inner feelings. But the peace of God, and the word keep means protect, like the biblical city that had a wall of protection around it. That's the imagery we see here in keeping or protecting your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that is so beautiful. In 1 John, we read that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Which of those three are we guilty of if we find it difficult to surrender to God? Think about it. In your situation, it's not the lust of the flesh. I don't think it's the lust of the eyes. But maybe our pride stands in the way of us surrendering because I can do it. I can do it. And God is saying, let me do it. I want you to consider that carefully. If you want the peace that passes all understanding to protect your heart and your mind, it's through Christ Jesus. And that's so beautiful.